I must confess to you that waiting is more difficult for me than working. I would much rather preach a sermon or mow the lawn than have to stand in a line at the airport while some confused passenger is trying to figure out where he's going. To me, the delays of life are not a part of the delights of life. I'm an activist. I like to plan my work and work my plan, and I hate to be kept waiting. Well, we read in John chapter 11 that the Lord Jesus Christ kept Mary and Martha and Lazarus waiting. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Therefore, her sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified by it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, you'd think the next verse would read, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he hurried to his side and brought comfort and strength and healing. But it doesn't say that. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Let's pray together. Father, as we examine this word, we need direction from heaven. We need the Holy Spirit to instruct us and then to enable us to put it into practice. Father, it's so much easier to talk about this word and listen to it than it is to practice it. So help us to put it into practice today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you would have thought that Jesus would rush to the side of Mary and Martha. For that matter, he could have healed Lazarus from a distance. But instead, our Lord delayed. He waited 2 days, and then he went to Bethany. Imagine how Mary and Martha must have felt. Imagine how Jesus must have felt as he waited. You see, Jesus knew that Lazarus already was dead. In fact, before the messenger got back with our Lord's message, Lazarus had died. Our Lord felt the pain and the sorrow that the two sisters were experiencing at that time, and yet he waited. Well, why did he delay? Why does God wait? How many times have we prayed about matters, and we were sure we were praying in the will of God, but nothing happened, and we waited? You may be waiting right now for God to do something that you've been talking to him about. From this passage, we can discover at least 3 good reasons why God delays in our lives. Why sometimes he waits to answer prayer. Why sometimes he seems to delay in meeting our needs. I think the first reason is rather obvious, verses 9 and 10. God has a perfect plan. God has a timetable. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Now, one of the interesting things about the Gospel of John is that it points out over and over again that our Lord Jesus was on a divine timetable. Turn back to John chapter 2. This is the account of our Lord's first miracle. When Mary came to him, she said to him, they have no wine. John chapter 2, verse 3. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. What he was saying was simply this, I am on a divine timetable, and my hour to reveal my glory has not yet come. Now, if you'll turn to John chapter 7 and look at verse 6, you'll see a continuation of this. His brethren were encouraging him to go to the Feast of the Tabernacles. And he said to them in verse 6 of John 7, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. In other words, I'm on a divine timetable. In verse 30 of John chapter 7, Then they sought to take him, that is, to arrest him. But no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. You find this same thought given in John chapter 8 and in verse 20. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. In John chapter 12 and in verse 23, we're coming now to a climax. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now he's talking about his crucifixion. In John chapter 13 and verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come." And then he begins his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 1, "Father, the hour is come." Our Lord is making it very, very clear he was on a divine timetable. Now, what was he doing? He was doing the Father's will. John chapter 6, verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." God had a perfect timetable for his Son in his birth, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, and Jesus Christ fulfilled that timetable. Now, I have a hard time personally accepting some of God's scheduling. As I say, I'm an activist. There are many things I like to get done. I have studying to do and books to write and trips to take and sermons to prepare and meetings to attend. And I like everything to run smoothly. And sometimes God says, "No, you're going to wait." Sometimes he maketh me to lie down. Sickness will hit, or some delay at an airport, or some other matter will come along, and I have to rearrange my whole schedule. That's the trouble. It's my schedule, not God's schedule. Just recently, I sat down and looked at all of my work, all the deadlines, all the things that have to be done, and I prayed about it and said, "Now, Lord, what is important? What is it you want me to get done?" I don't always understand God's timetable. I'm sure Joseph didn't understand God's timetable when he was suffering in Egypt. I'm sure David didn't understand God's timetable when he was being chased by Saul and being kept off of the throne that was rightfully his. In Matthew chapter 14, when the disciples were in the boat in the storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was not with them, I'm sure they didn't understand why he didn't come. God has a perfect plan. You ought to memorize Psalm 31:15, the first statement in Psalm 31:15. "My times are in thy hands." That's a good statement, isn't it? "My times are in thy hand." God is in control. He has a perfect plan. There's a second reason why our Lord delays in answering prayer and in coming to us. It's because he wants to build our faith. You see, if God always did everything that we asked him to do right now, then we'd never grow in our faith. Faith and patience go together. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Now, the Lord says, if a man walks in the day, he's not going to stumble. In other words, he's talking about following God's plan. Keep on walking. If you walk in the night, trying to follow your own plan, you're going to stumble. There's no light in you. God wants to do something in us. What does he want to do? He wants to increase our faith. As he increases our faith, he increases the light that we have within us. He wanted to increase the disciples' faith. In verse 15, he says, well, verse 14, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe." Our Lord wanted to build the faith of the disciples. In fact, when you read the Gospel of John, you cannot help but notice two lines that parallel each other, but they're going in opposite directions. You see the growth of the faith of the disciples. Back in chapter 1, the disciples come and they trust the Lord. They hear John the Baptist preach. They trust the Lord. The Lord Jesus begins to teach them, to do miracles, to teach them, and their faith begins to grow. And finally, it climaxes there in John chapter 20 with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They believe, and then they go out and share the word. But right along with this, moving in the opposite direction, you see the unbelief of the Jewish nation. At first, they follow the Lord because he is teaching and doing miracles. That in John chapter 6, a great crowd departs from him. They won't walk with him anymore. From John 7 to John 12, the leaders are fighting with the Lord. It's one battle after another. Finally, they crucify him. Our Lord wants to build the disciples' faith. This is an interesting thought. Mary and Martha were contributing to the growth of the disciples' faith. Now, our Lord also wanted to increase Martha's faith and Mary's faith. Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother shall rise again." And he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And he said to Martha over in verse 40, "Said not I unto thee that if thou shouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" So he wants to increase our faith. Faith grows through trial. We'll have more to say about this in a future study, but let me drop it into your heart right now. Faith grows under trial. Trial brings out either the best in us that God has put there or the worst in us. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various testings," wrote James, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, wanting nothing." God wants to mature us. God wants to build our faith. God wants us to grow. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. God has a perfect plan. Don't walk around in the darkness. Find out what his will is and do it. Wait on his timing. The will of God involves not only what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it and why he wants you to do it, but the will of God involves when he wants you to do it. Second reason, God wants to build our faith. The third reason is this: God wants to receive the greatest glory. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't wait to give Lazarus a chance to die. Lazarus was already dead. When you figure out the timetable, by the time the messenger got to the Lord Jesus and then got back to Bethany, Lazarus had already died. But our Lord makes it very clear in verse 4, this sickness is not unto death. That is, it's not going to stop there. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now, I need to remember this when I'm waiting in line. I need to remember this when I'm praying and nothing seems to be happening. I need to remember this when I'm witnessing and people aren't responding. God has a perfect plan. God wants to build our faith, and God wants to receive the greatest glory. You see, when a person dies, you put that person in the grave. It's possible that they were not dead. It's possible that they were just in a swoon, or perhaps they were in a coma. And then they wake up. Our Lord said, "I'm going to wait. I'm going to give Lazarus a chance really to be dead as far as the witnesses are concerned." In fact, when Jesus did show up at Bethany, he discovered that the man had been in the tomb 4 days. His body had begun to decompose. When our Lord wanted to open up the tomb, Martha said, "Oh no, by now he smells." That's exactly what our Lord wanted. He wanted the situation to be so bad that only the resurrection power of God could transform the situation. Isn't that why he waited with Abraham and Sarah, made them wait 25 years for the birth of their son? He wanted them to be as good as dead. You know, sometimes the Lord has to wait to give us a chance to give up and have no resources of our own. Just as long as you and I can pull some strings and push some buttons and do some manipulation, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, that applies to this situation in Bethany. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. You ought to mark this verse. I ought to mark this verse. The next time we get impatient, let's read this verse. Isaiah 30, 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. The Father in heaven is waiting. And as he waits, he is working graciously. All things are working together for good, whether we see it or not. And as he is working graciously, he is working gloriously. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted. He wants to receive more glory. So what do? We wait on him. We trust in his word. We know that he's working, and we give him the opportunity to teach us how to grow. Blessed are all those who wait for him.